Log Talk Radio.
Yeah. Welcome to With Insights. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia, streaming live on the World Wide Web, on withinsightsradio.com, on the Blog Talk Radio Network. For the next 60 minutes, we will be learning about With Insights. All our friends on this show have something to share and something to give. So I want you to sit back and relax, fasten your seatbelts, and let's get ready for the ride.
Sweet.
Welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia, here with my co-host, David Tucros.
David Tucros here.
And our other co-host, who's home in bed sick, mm-hmm. Katie Singini, will not be with us, so we'll miss her. But
yes, we will. Yes.
Want to wish everybody
wish her well, though.
A great Monday.
Mm-hmm.
We hope to have a great show. We really don't know where these shows go. Sometimes
it's kind of up to you sometimes out there in the audience to direct where we go.
Yeah. And we're open to ideas and mm-hmm. and destinations.
So if you're tired of hearing us talk, call in and you can talk to us.
Yeah, and the call-in number is 646-595-3440 for those of you who are in the chat room and trying to figure out what the call-in number is. But I was just talking to David about a movie I saw last night, the tail end of a movie. I like watching the tail end of movies.
You get it kind of encapsulated down, you know. It's like, okay.
Yeah, it's kind of
where
like,
they're all coming to. It's the point of it. But.
You know, I like going on YouTube and watching the 30-minute movies. Some mm-hmm. guy makes these 30-minute movies.
Yeah.
And he breaks everything down to 30 minutes. Something that takes an hour and a half or 2 hours.
We got short attention spans nowadays. But,
yeah, it's just pretty cool to, you know, your mind starts to go, wait, there's a piece missing. But anyway, back to that movie.
Yeah.
I got distracted already. But, there was this movie I was watching. I forget. I think it was called Mission to Mars.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. But,
I think you're right.
And basically, they send a team up there to figure out what that face is on the Mars. And the one team gets stranded, and a whole bunch of craziness happens. The second team comes to rescue whoever's left or, you know, pick up information. And one of the characters, Don Cheadle, is one of the characters, and he's, like, chosen this program that he created, you know, because it's, like, 2 years, so he had mm-hmm. he had a lot of time to, you know, mess around up there.
Right.
And then he got this, he ticked the code, he goes, and broke it down to different quadrants. And finally what happened was it created a construct of a symbol. Of sounds of what it was the DNA structure floating around. But the other guy, who was even more smarter than Don Cheadle, he goes, there's more there.
There's something missing.
And so he goes on the computer that he just, you know, figured out in 2 seconds. And
hey, thanks. Took me 2 years to do that.
And he goes, touches it, and the next thing you know, he breaks it up to three different, you know, and he goes, that's DNA. He goes, yeah, I didn't know that was DNA. And then he knocks over a bag of M&M's. And then the M&M's have the same colors that are on the DNA structure, which is funny.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, he mentions some guy's name, him and his M&M's, and he goes, wait a minute. They want us to unlock the message, unlock the code. You know, it's not a DNA structure, it's a key. And so basically he figures it out. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, in your mind you got to process. They probably did this more than once.
Right.
You know, they probably were like, but they send this little rover over there. They send the message, the beacon, so they don't get blasted.
Yeah. And then the face.
Yeah, and next thing you know, the side of the face opens up. This door goes, and they go through.
Uh-huh.
And this guy's like really itching to go inside. And it was like, turns around for 2 seconds, he's already going in.
Oh.
And it was like, hey, wait, we have to check in. He goes, oh, everything's fine, man. Gets inside, and they're all looking in awe because it's a completely white room.
Mm-hmm.
Completely white, just bright. Mr. Clean lives there, you know. Door shuts behind him, they all freak out.
Yeah, I can't even see the door because everything's just so white.
And so he's looking at his gauges, and he can see nitrogen and the combinations for oxygen, you know, are starting to form. And he starts taking off his glove, and everybody starts freaking out. I'm like, don't do that, Dad. Don't do that, David. Don't do it. Too gross. Don't do that.
I'm going to just throw caution to the wind.
So he takes it off, and then she goes, yeah, it's going up. Yeah, it's compressurizing. And so finally they take their masks off, and then they, you know, they're just in awe by what's going on, what's happening. The pressure on Mars is so different. And this spaceship they're in, or this capsule they're in, mm-hmm. just can contain their lifespan for so long. They keep walking, then all of a sudden this window opens up, and then they see this huge, like, map of the universe mm-hmm. appears.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just, like, freaked out. And then they start seeing all
the planets
and
the stars,
rotating, you know, around the sun. Then they get to this one, which is Mars. Excuse me, but it's all luscious and green and blue. kind of like Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, this alien appears out of nowhere. It's like he's like a hologram alien. And then he makes them all hold hands, and they all start watching this thing. The events happen together. This huge asteroid or meteor, metallic meteor, just hits Mars and causes this devastation. Just wipes the whole place out. But whoever, all the people who are remaining, well, take off on these spaceships that look like faces. Like the faces, but they're smaller versions of them.
Oh, okay.
So they all shoot off.
So it's only part of the face is only part of a spaceship that you see, yeah.
And so there's a whole bunch of these little ships taken off, I mean thousands of them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's only one that stays behind, and that's the one they're in. And what's cool is that they're in this thing, and the alien kind of, you know, sends them a message somehow that he gets the message. He figures it out.
Yeah.
You know, I gotta explore more. And they're like, okay, we're done here. Everybody's ready to leave. He's like, no, I'm not leaving. I'm staying.
Hmm.
And so there's this countdown that begins, and he's walking, and he starts, everybody's taking off, and everybody's freaking out, and the other ship's going to leave, and these other two are going to get stranded.
Yeah.
So they get a little drama in that. And so,
yeah.
But he has no clue if they're going to make it or not. But he goes, well, he won't push button. He'll wait for you. So the last possible second, he did.
Yeah.
And they went home, and then he took off. He got into this chamber and, you know, filled it up with liquid. It's like a liquid oxygen, oxygen, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then he was freaking out, and he's like, ah. And next thing, and then he opens his mouth because he can't hold it anymore. He just starts breathing it in, and some kind of chamber for his super light speed.
The long trip he's going to take, yeah.
So he's going to go meet up with the aliens.
Yeah.
He'll probably eat him.
We're going to soak you. We're going to marinate you for a while.
Yes,
first.
You are a delicacy yeah. we've been waiting for.
No, but you know, that kind of brings up a couple of things. First of all, he was the one person on that mission who was almost like born to be there, you know?
Yeah.
He was yearned for it so much and was so ready to just leave everything most of us would cling to behind, you know, to go on this great adventure, you know? And somehow, I think at times, many of us feel like that in life, you know, like there's just something that we're here to do or experience or be that maybe anyone else doesn't understand, but we do, you know, we know it when we see it, you know, and it's just, you latch onto that, and that's your thing, you know, that's your mission. Mission to Mars.
Yeah. You know, it just kind of reminds us sometimes of the things we do, you know, when we're doing our work and our little ceremonies. I mean, sometimes I wonder, were we born to do this? Or did we learn this? Or is this an inherent, you know, physical trait? Or is this something that's, you know, genetically passed down? Have we done this before in a past life? I mean, the answer is in every question I just asked.
Yeah.
But the point is, you know, it makes me wonder, you know.
It feels so right and just so natural and so easy that, you know, I have to say that we must have been designed for it, you know, or it's a more honest and genuine expression of our spiritual nature and who we are.
Yeah, I don't know how many times you and I have stood on Shrum Mountain and drummed and just totally disappear.
Yeah.
There's, like everything yesterday, I felt away. Like I was, it was just gone.
Yeah.
I was just like, I don't know.
You went up there early. You fell asleep, actually. So you.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, I slept on the mound for at least a good hour.
Mm-hmm.
At least I think I was sleeping. I don't know where I was. But
dreamwalking somewhere.
Yeah, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
The whole experience was cool. Then Todd came. Well, it was a whole bunch of kids. They were. I'll let me tell you what happened.
Okay.
I'll let you know because I thought it was pretty important. When I'm there, there was like two. I could hear people. But I didn't want to, like, open my eyes and look. I just kind of want to enjoy.
Yeah.
And them enjoying me laying there. I'm going, who's this guy, you know? All the kids. But the kids were kind of oblivious to me laying there. The parents were like, oh, don't. They could hear them, like, they're like, what, Mom? We're not. Just,
don't mind.
But it was funny because every time there was two groups of kids that came, two little kids. And then the one brother goes, Max, don't do that. Max, don't do that. And then the other one was like, Max, you got to come over here. And Max, roll down the hill with me. Well, it's funny because when Susie and I were trying to have a baby several years ago, we had a baby named Max that we lost.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny, and I was thinking to myself, you know, I just had that moment where I was like, I wonder what spirit is just give me a little preview or something that didn't happen but got to experience. You know, it was really cool. I was really grateful for that. It put me in a good place.
Yeah.
I wasn't in a bad place. I was just put me in a better place, better. And I'm thinking, wow, that's little Maximilian, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I was like, that's pretty cool.
That is. You get those little touches from spirit sometimes, you know. Sometimes it's poignant, you know. Sometimes it's just a happy feeling. But, you know, somebody's listening and you're communicating back and forth, you know, that there is
yeah.
some interaction there.
And then Todd showed up. And it's kind of funny how I knew he was Todd. I didn't see him, but I could hear how he moves around.
Yeah.
He shuffles his feet and stuff. Uh-huh. You just start to pick up little things that people do, and you kind of recognize them without
right.
seeing them. And their breathings, and they're just, they're, you know, they're just... And then I woke up, and he was there. I was like, hello, Shaman. I said, hey, Todd, what's up, man? It was cute.
Yeah. It was a good time. It was just the three of us for a while, just up there, you know, just kind
yeah.
of chatting and hanging out. And
with the vultures and the,
yeah.
in the herons and the cranes. And
red-tailed hawk came by.
And the red-tailed hawk was beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that was more interesting for me was the guy who showed up.
Adam? Yeah.
He came in with this harmonic tube thing that he just plays like a little keyboard with an air tube.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
It didn't bother me. It didn't throw me off. It was just like, wow, that's just cool. And I got up a little bit. And I looked around. I didn't see any cars, like anybody pull. I didn't hear anybody pull up. But he just started playing with us. You've met him before.
Yeah.
I'd never
yeah.
met him. And he lives like across the way.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that our drumming, and we weren't playing that loud.
No.
That it was carrying so.
We traveled so far across, you know, the water, the
mm-hmm.
pond that they had there. He came over in bare feet, too. He didn't know a shoe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were several people who sat and watched us
mm-hmm.
from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
But he actually came in and played along with us. It was cool. And then he sung a song, Sarah.
Yeah.
Was like a song, like a grieving song.
Yeah, and lost love.
Yeah, and I had a friend who was also in another ceremony. She was in a grieving ceremony with her mom and stuff. So it was kind of ironic that it was just kind of, he was doing his grieving,
yeah.
you know, singing and reminiscing about her, and this other person's doing their grieving and remembering whatever they had to
right.
remember. And I let them know about it, and it was kind of like about the same time. And it was just really intense. You
yeah.
know, it was like...
Yesterday was a day for letting go, mm-hmm. you know, and acknowledging sadness and grief too in that
mm-hmm.
way, but also, you know, getting new life and new
yeah.
generation.
We talked about Jesus and Judas
mm-hmm.
and all the different aspects, and you know, if this hadn't happened, if this didn't happen,
right?
You know, who knows where we all be at this moment? What life would be like?
Mm-hmm.
But it was really interesting. You know, it's where you put your belief and where you put your faiths and you know energies.
Right.
But there are people out there that believe that faith is a little grain of salt that's floating in outer space
yeah.
to create everything. So, you know,
what's interesting is Jesus said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you know, the size
mm-hmm.
of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain.
Yeah.
What a challenge that is. I mean, you know, no matter what we think about faith, you know, that's energy there. That there's some potential of energy there that's just incredible if we would really understand it, you know, and we would really grasp what he was saying, you know, in that statement. I think for any belief system or any of our personal lives, if we only believed in ourselves that much,
mm-hmm.
you know, we can move mountains inside of us that we feel are unclimbable or are stopping us from achieving what we want to achieve, you know, just have some faith.
Absolutely. I believe that, you know, even a cube of water has tons of energy, you
mm-hmm.
know. Little hydrogen.
Every atom in there, you
know,
every nucleus of every atom.
So it just blows your mind.
There.
We're much bigger than a little, you know, cube of water.
Mm-hmm.
And just think of the potentiality that we have stored in us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can go on for hours talk about it.
Yeah.
But it's fun to talk about because sometimes it doesn't get talked about enough.
Right.
And we get so caught up in the mundane and, I don't even call it mundane, but the everyday aspects of religion and the way things should be, the structure.
Yeah.
Just put that with the structure.
Yeah.
And the structure is okay because some people really need that. Some people
sure.
need the guidance and held their hand held along and,
mm-hmm.
and shown certain things. And it's a lot easier for some.
Right.
But, you know, if you're anything like I am, you like to ask a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And
you want to grow. You know,
yeah.
it's a spiritual journey. It's an experience. It's not, and you can't stay in your playpen forever. You've got to, or your even your grade school forever. You've got to keep growing and going forward. And to me, I don't think that that God, the universe, spirit wants us to be children all the time, you know, because what do we want as parents? We want to love and support our children, give them the good food, the good, you know, the ground
mm-hmm.
rules, watch them grow. But we want them to stand on their own 2 feet eventually and
mm-hmm.
become mature. And eventually, you know, they relate more to us, you know, on a almost a peer-to-peer level, you know, and go, oh, yeah, when you told me that, you were right. I thought you were wrong, but you were right, you know, when you told me that, Mom and Dad, you know. And
right.
That's good for a parent to hear, you know, that that their instruction and hard work, paid off.
Yeah. It's just funny because everybody has their own view of how things are. Mm-hmm. Even if they agree with, the religion or belief they're in, there's still their own perceptions and their judgments about things.
Mm-hmm.
It was funny because, did I tell you about this yesterday? About, I posted something on Facebook, their life is, the world is perfect, everything's perfect.
Our
perceptions and judgments.
Yeah.
But then I had one guy goes, well, I disagree with you. And I was like, well, there you are, you're judging.
There's your perception of it.
And there's and then he said something else. I said, well, that's your perception. And so it's just funny how it is.
Yeah.
I wasn't really asking for anybody's opinion.
You don't have to agree or disagree. Yeah. It's just food for thought, you know?
Yeah, it's something to think about.
Yeah.
And it was just funny how our conversation evolved. And, there's moments where I'm like, I'm really listening to people, and I'm like, yeah, you're right, you're cool. I get what you're saying. But in this moment, I didn't feel that way. I'm like, no, when I feel that you're judging me, for my judgment about the judgment that I put on the statement I created.
Right.
And so it was like, then he got to the point, he goes, well, I'm autistic. And I'm like, okay, and what's your point? Nothing against people with autism.
Right.
There's all kinds of autism, so I don't know what kind of autism you have.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes, I'm like Mr. Spock. I'm like Data from Next Generation. He goes, well, I go, well, he goes, so everything's like a box of chocolate? I said, no, but I'll tell you this, I'm like Captain Kirk. I'm really blunt and to the point, and, it doesn't matter if you agree with me or not. I'm
going
to save the ship, my way, the way you're trying to save, It was just funny. It was kind of comical.
Yeah.
He pulled out the Spock and Captain,
he first off, came back with Captain
and I came back with Captain Kirk. Yes, I kiss green women. so it's just funny. I like the challenges of life sometimes it gives you, because as human beings, sometimes we get stuck in our head. We get stuck in our beliefs so much that we label ourselves without even knowing that we labeled ourselves. He threw at me that he was autistic. He had autism. I'm like, so I don't know if he was looking for compassion from me. I don't know if he was looking to use that as a reason why he speaks the way he does. I don't know what it was. I didn't really ask him. It's what he believes.
It's the aspect of himself he chose to focus on.
And, that was fine. And I didn't agree or disagree with him on that. Excuse me, but that's where he went with that, and I was like, okay, that's cool. I don't respect or disrespect. I'm not doing it. I'm being very neutral about it and just listening, And I think he got it.
Yeah.
I think he finally understood what I was trying to say. Sometimes people are so absolute about things, and there's nothing wrong with being absolute, but, you're going to find yourself sometimes, and I'm judging, putting judgment and my perceptions on it again.
Yeah.
You're going to find yourself in situations proving offending.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just life.
Yeah, and as I've gotten older, I've discovered my opinions matter less or mean less because, there's so many different variations out there that, what I thought was right and wrong, not necessarily always that way.
Yeah.
Not somebody else's reality. So.
That's true.
It's nice. It's actually relieving to kind of let go of that.
Yeah, I'm not nearly as bad as I used to be.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's a learned thing to some degree.
Yeah, maybe it is. I don't know. It's not something you learn, set out to learn, but it comes along with getting older, dropping the desire for drama in your life. I don't want conflict. I just want to, I just want to explore and understand the world more,
Mm-hmm.
Letting other people be themselves is part of that. So.
Right. And that's big, that's huge. Allowing somebody else to just have their own, a lot of people, we don't do that a lot in this culture, Everything has to be one way or another.
Gotta prove it. Gotta prove myself right.
Oh, no, he's right. No, you're wrong. He's there because he's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's still someone's view on what they saw, how they interpret it, how they see it.
Right. Exactly.
So it's one of those things. It's like someone trying to explain what you do for your life and how you live your life mm-hmm. and trying to share it with the world. No matter how hard they try to explain it, they'll never get it right.
Yeah, because they're seeing it through their eyes, their perceptions, their judgments,
And that's how the news is.
That.
Oh, that guy killed somebody. But they never tell you that he killed him in self-defense or there was, why.
Yeah.
Or why there was an accident. There was always, they leave you hanging, man.
Yeah.
It's like a good cliffhanger, That's why I don't watch the news anymore, man.
It's mainly to just generate drama and accentuate you know, certain aspects of our nature that really, you know, we're much more than that, you know?
Yeah.
It's not a dog-eat-dog world, you know?
No, I don't think it's as bad as sometimes we make it to be. There are some situations where we're pretty heinous, but...
Yeah, yeah. You get troubled individuals and people like that, but...
But that's in anything.
Yeah.
That will always be, I believe. Mm-hmm. Always have people are going to always test the boundaries of what man sets as rules and regulations. And, you know, there was, you probably remember this in school. A teacher proposed to us one time, no prisons. Just said, no prisons, no more. Oh, excuse me. We're not going to have prisons. Mm-hmm. Oh.
What are we going to do with all the all
everybody
the
freaked out.
Criminals, you know?
Everybody just had a tizzy about it. Mm. Oh, we can't do that.
People running the streets and
the idea was, you know, he wanted you to think way much more bigger than just a prison cell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you're going like restructuring a whole society, restructuring a whole belief.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found it really challenging, you know. Thinking was
you kind of get to the root of what causes people to act the way they do, or why? What's the motivation behind some of these things we see? Is it fear, insecurity? You know, you get down to those basics, and you begin to examine those, and you may find that we don't need as many prisons. We need to, you know, redirect the way we look at things.
Yeah, I mean, it can go any which way. You can spin it however you want.
Sure.
But it's just one of those concepts where you just have to really think, how are we living as a society? How are we looking at beauty? How are we looking at the foods we eat? How we look, you know, at religion? How we look at government? How we look at every aspect? You know, does everybody have equal in everything?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you have to ask questions why we do have prisons. Why do we have prisons? That's pretty easy to answer. You know, that's pretty easy. It's right in our face.
Yeah.
But the hard answers is how do we rehabilitate a whole world, a whole society, a whole race of human beings to act differently for one another or honor each other.
That's been a question for a long time, you know.
But when we create, you know, the love and the light and the dark and the shadows, even the shadows, you know, penetrate the light and the light penetrates the shadows, so it goes both ways.
Right.
So...
almost to transcend those two extremes and
live. And you know, I don't get hung up too much about religion because, you know, I don't really know if there's Jesus or God or Buddha or anything, you know. But I find it easier to focus my energy and believing on some aspects of life because it helps me as a guide, guides me that way.
Right.
And there are high friends who are atheists who don't believe in anything. And I said, well, you guys have a lot to not believe in. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a lot to take in. I can't handle that, believing. There's too much not to believe. It just all happened by a big whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's just, you know, everybody has their right and their right to express themselves.
You know, I believe what I am experiencing now, you know, and that's all I really can. What I believe that I'm experiencing now, I should say, you know, because really it's just my senses, you know, and my intuition and where I think I am right now, you know. There's the old thing, you could be a brain in a box somewhere and you could just be having some kind of a holographic experience right now, you know?
Yeah, but, I mean, we could walk out, you know, you and I walk out this door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Many things and aspects can change very quickly and very, very drastically or very beautiful at the same.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, we could be the brain in the box watching the holographic images play before us.
But, you know, the point is that I'm here now, I believe that I'm here now, I believe that I have the free will and the power to do, to have an impact on the world, whether it's positive or negative, in my own perception of that. So I just choose to be as positive a force as I can, try to move through the world and share love and share respect and share the common experience of being human, you know, because that's what we really all are. When you strip away all the societal differences and the religious differences and the cultural differences, we're just human beings here having a common experience, you know. And what does that all mean? You know, how can we find a deeper meaning in it than just we're not animals? We're more than that. You know, we have the ability to not just be driven by instincts. We have our intellect and our values and our, you know, inner guidance that can lift us up higher. So. what position does that bring us up to? You know, are we going to be good masters of the world, you know, and each other and ourselves? You know, are we going to be good caretakers? Or are we just going to allow our superior intelligence and wits to be more predatory upon the world and each other? Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, I think that for me anyway, the answer is to connect more with spirit, to connect more with something greater than myself and us as a species, and just and try to bring that reflection of that and an expression of that into my life and be inspired by it too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I look around and that's where I get my inspiration, my direction. It's not so much from a book or from what I've been taught and learned mm-hmm. is right and wrong. You know, I look to nature. I look to wherever I'm at. Even if I'm in the middle of a high-rise in downtown, the universe will try to communicate with me somehow. It will let me know, you know, either an inner voice or some little sign. You know, and when you stay connected like that, you're more, I believe you're more true to who you really are becoming.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah.
And it's the more you do it and the more you allow it and open yourself to it, I think mm-hmm. it becomes much easier.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, for me, that's how I look at it. Mm-hmm. You know, everything has purpose, higher purpose, whatever that may be.
Yeah. You've been kind of drawn to the book Jonathan Livingston Seagull lately. What's that all about?
Well, you know, I haven't started reading it yet.
Okay.
So, I mean, you probably tell me more about the book than I could. But it's part of the – we actually use that book in the Gestalt the methods that we use.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about that book a lot to read it. And, you know, I've been stumbling upon it and just kind of runs into me. So I've been kind of getting the surgery clean and get myself situated here so I can just sit out, relax, and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like a book I don't want to put down.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But I've just been kind of really focused on just being out in nature a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just doing the things that, you know, like you do.
Yeah.
You know, the drumming and, you know, in the communion with other people, like-minded people.
Yeah. It's amazing who shows up sometimes when you're just mm-hmm. out there, too. You know, it's almost like those people were meant to come by and,
yeah.
And you know, experience what you're there. And then you're there to experience them, too. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally love that.
Mm-hmm.
I just, it's funny when your thinking changes.
Yeah.
You know, your thinking changes, you know?
Yeah.
You know, from... Yeah. What used to may have been, or you know, however you thought of things, or however you looked at life, attribute that to a little bit to being getting a little older too,
mm-hmm.
a little wiser, and coming to see things a little differently. Or
right.
My experiences teach me really quick that was no fun.
Right.
You know,
I think the first part of your life is you're driven to become somebody. You know,
mm-hmm.
to make your mark and to, you know, make it have an influence on the whatever you choose to pursue, your career. You know, your personal life, you know, have the family that you've been told you need to have, or you know, go and get that great job or the education, or, you know, be the figure that, you know, you've been held, has been held up before you as the ideal. But
mm-hmm.
as you get older, you kind of go, you know, I really would just like to be myself. And that's when you really begin to discover yourself rather than try to create yourself into something that, you know, another person's image or
yeah.
another... image from outside that you've been told you should be. So,
and I'm just like all our listeners and like yourself. You know, I wanted to prove that I was worthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in society that I could do my part. You know, raise my family. I've raised my family.
Mm-hmm.
That's raising them in a different light now. But you get to this point where you're like, wow. You know, I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
I don't need to prove anything to anybody.
Right.
I don't care if you don't like me. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, fine. You obviously have problems with me or with mm-hmm. yourself about me.
Right.
But that's okay. You're allowed to have that. But I don't worry too much. Maybe that's why I have more friends than I probably had before.
Yeah.
You know, because
yeah.
I just, you know, this is me. I mean, I'm not going to try to impress you and try to showboat you to like me.
Right.
You know, I'm just going to do my shamanic work and my medicine and whatever mm-hmm. I do. And
if you
know, you resonate.
You
want to
hang out with that? That's fine. Yeah. If you don't, that's... Yeah. There's four other directions to go.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of where my life's gone, you know, just giving up a lot of material things,
mm-hmm.
which I thought I wasn't able to do at some point. But, you know, it's like, I don't really need that. I got a truck sitting out there. It's not working.
Yeah.
I mean, but I have another car. You know what I'm saying? I could really hustle and work and get it fixed. But I know it'll be fixed when it needs to be fixed.
Right.
There's a reason why it's not working.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why I'm very... I don't know, I'm very, like, things have purpose. There's a reason we don't have that car.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why that's not in the cards at this moment. And I'm not going to tempt fate, you know.
Trying to go outside the lines that you, you know, that
I mean,
been directed in.
Well, you can go outside the lines. But what I guess what I'm saying is there's certain things that happen for a certain reason. And we can experience them however we want. You know, I can go out and fix the car, but then I can have an accident 2 weeks later, you know.
Yeah.
Just, the, you know, there's this intuition in your head. And there's this knowing that you just know that you know about something.
Right.
That you
right.
shouldn't act on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you just should let, just be patient and wait. And that's really flared up a lot in my life lately, where just things are like, everybody around me is just falling apart, and everybody's like, don't you see it? I say, yeah, I see it, but I just don't deserve, I don't feel like being in it.
Right.
You know, there's a difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to swim in it, but I don't want to swim in the shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have fun.
You know, right.
Just, I'm right here. I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine on top of the pool with my life jacket on. If I fall in, then we'll figure it out.
Yeah. That's a good attitude, you know. It's that's staying in the you know, in your intuition.
Yeah, staying in the intuition, staying in my moment.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about that the other day. The moment is very powerful. The moment is huge,
mm-hmm.
and I wish people would really get that, because I didn't get it for a long time.
Yeah.
I always thought about what was yesterday.
Yeah, so much looking forward.
What I'm
going to
do?
Back, you know?
Yeah. You know, I was really concerned, because that was how I was raised. You know. Make sure the bills are paid. You got to make sure everything's... Make sure they're going to find a wife. You know, it's like, oh, man, that's too much. Can I? What about right now? Can I just go to the bathroom? You know?
Yeah.
You know, just can I go eat something? But,
break.
Yeah, the moment's really... It's intangible.
Mm-hmm.
Once it's gone, it's gone. Mm-hmm. You can only think about it, and it's never going to be the same. Can't step in that puddle twice. And I really buy into that. A lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's like when I don't get to do something with somebody or didn't get a situation to be with someone, I'm like, yeah, it kind of bothers me.
Right. Especially when you knew it was meant to be or that you were going to get something really valuable out of it.
But now I just do it.
Yeah.
I just go.
Yeah.
You know, they want to sleep in or whatever. I go.
Right.
I don't wait around anymore.
Yeah.
I used to wait around. I used to be like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to do this. Okay, see, I'm going to go do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I've gotten to that point where it's just like, I've waited for you. I'm not pointing
at
you.
Oh, no.
And I've given myself away,
mm-hmm.
is what I've done for their whatever. You know, fill it in with whatever.
Right.
And I think that's what happens with a lot of our callers. You know, they've given themselves away. They've given parts and pieces... in order to compromise, in order to make the relationship better,
right?
To make someone love them,
mm-hmm.
you know, quotations there,
mm-hmm.
you know, or the job situation, they won't move, they won't leave because,
yeah.
you know, something is, you know, grandma's there,
right?
Or afraid of change. But, and those are scary things, and those are real things. I mean,
mm-hmm.
so I'm not going to discount them for people. For me, I'm talking about our, you know, people who call on our show sometimes.
Mm.
They have the answers. They actually know what they need sometimes.
Yeah, they already know. Yeah.
And I think they just need a little confirmation.
Yeah.
So, a little nudge.
Right.
Yeah.
So if anything, we just kind of pass the message along if we can, you know.
Or reframe it in a way.
Yeah.
That they just need to hear it differently.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes our head and our ego gets in the way, and our ego goes, you know, me smash, no, you cannot, me Hulk, you know?
Right.
You cannot do that because I will break you, you know?
But what happens to Bruce Banner when he calms down? What happens to the Hulk? He becomes Bruce Banner again, you know?
They're all both in the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're both in the same.
Right.
You know, critical father here, the Hulk,
mm-hmm.
and parent nurturing mother, you know, and the child in between the both of them, struggling to find that path between the two.
Right, right.
And all the people that he encounters in both forms. The duality of life. So, you know, I encourage people also to explore, you know, their intuition. You know, listen to that higher voice in their head. You know, if it's giving you advice like, well, that you shouldn't wear that shirt. It doesn't look good on you. Well, then that's not higher self.
Yeah.
That's a good clue there.
Yeah.
But you'll know that voice. You'll know that voice, and you'll know that tingle, and you'll know, and you'll see things in life. You'll see things in nature. And you'll start to recognize, and your intuition is very powerful. Everybody has intuition.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what anybody tells me. Anybody, you know, I believe everybody's in tune. if you're a human being, you're in tune. You may be untuned at the moment, just turned off, but you have the, you know, when you want to turn it on, you find the frequencies that you need to, you know, resonate in. Really believe that.
Yeah. I think we all start out that way as children. Children are a lot more intuitive and spontaneous, and they go with the flow of the moment more.
Yeah, because they scan through the channels.
Yeah.
You know, they don't care.
Yeah.
I'm going channel 6. No, I'm channel 4. Wait, I'm 106, you know. But that's how the kids flow, right?
Right, they're open. They're not limited by, no. They think they should do this or, you know, expected to do that.
Then our parents get in there.
Yeah.
No, you can't listen to that. That's bad. Don't. And the kid's like, why is it bad?
Why is it bad? I'm curious about that.
Okay. So for a while, he shuts it off, and then the next thing you know, turns it on, you know? Uh-huh. Sex no good. Then they wonder why, you know, they're having sex or why something happened, you know?
Then that person's got sexual hang-ups later on. You know?
Yeah. Why they find themselves in compromising situations sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, sometimes we can over-shelter, and, you know, there's a gray line. There's that gray line, you know, how far, how much, how we should push.
Right.
Or, you know, even raise our kids to a certain degree. You and I have kids, so we can say things like this because, you know, we've had firsthand, you know, experience the whole gamut of things.
Right.
You know, our kids are all adults, so. But I find it really interesting. And plus, we're men, so we come from a different point of view, so much different than the feminine point of view. But, but I find that sometimes we're the ones that cause more problems, you know. By the things the statements we make to them.
Yeah.
And then, damn if it doesn't, you hear it later in life.
It's coming out of their mouth.
Yeah, and you're going, where the heck did you learn that?
Yeah.
And they go, I'm from you. You said the same thing.
Right.
I don't say it anymore. Don't say that anymore. Don't do that. You know, it's like, it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's funny, but it's not. But, you know, you really start to understand how much and how fast, and kids are like sponges. When I hear that sentence,
oh yes, definitely,
they are sponges.
I'll never forget what my son Jordan did. Okay, so I was living up in Alaska for a while, and my wife at the time, Kristen, was down here, and my son Jordan was there. He was probably about three and a half years old, and we were watching an episode of Seinfeld where there was the part about makeup sex, and he said, "You missed the makeup sex." I missed the makeup sex. So anyway, that just went by, you know, and then months later, as we're driving along, we come down here to Ohio, and we're driving along somewhere, and suddenly, out of the blue, Jordan just from the back seat goes, "What's makeup sex?" I'm like, you waited months to say that to where we're all together in the car, no...
Classic.
Oh, yeah. And so she looks over me like, what's this? Thanks, Jordan. No, they're always thinking. They're always,
oh, yeah.
It's, you know... They're much more intelligent than, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We think they are.
Well, the call-in number is 646-595-3440. Again, 646-595-3440 if you want to call in. The lines are open at the moment. Let me see the chat room here. I did put the number on the chat if you want to call in.
I've got something for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I've been working on these cards that I'm doing, Alaska Spirit cards.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got... between 1 and 68 of them, so just kind of clear your mind, let the spirit inspire you, and give me a number between 1 and 68.
1 and 68. Well, shoot, 68.
You want 68? Okay. That's good. See, I didn't think people would pick the ones at the very end, but... Okay, so 68 is salmonberry. Your basic needs are met, if not your wants. Appreciate the provision you are given, and you will never lack.
There you go.
Yeah, see? Yeah.
Can I pick another number?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Okay, I'll pick my favorite number is 13, so.
13, let's see what 13 is. 13 is the snowshoe hare. Snowshoe hare is making progress in leaps and bounds. There's aspects of a solitary life with ambition, diligence, and resilience. So somebody who has focus, who is resilient, who can face challenges and come back, makes their leaps, their progress in leaps and bounds. Sometimes they're standing there still. You know how a rabbit, when there's a predator around, will stay very still. That's
You're
their
right.
defense, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then they know the exact moment when that predator looks away or isn't paying attention, they're gone, you know. So very aware and intuitive.
Very good.
Yeah, and a solitary life. You know, that kind of struck me too when I was making these up. Somehow, in a lot of ways, you know, I kind of feel like that at times. You know, even though when I'm in a relationship or with a bunch of people, sometimes I felt like, you know, I'm still solitary. In,
I get what you're saying
in
that card.
You know what I'm saying, yeah. Yeah.
You have your solitude moments, you know, where you're okay.
Yeah.
Being in the space.
It's not loneliness to be alone, you know.
No, it doesn't mean loneliness to me. It doesn't feel lonely to me.
Mm-hmm.
It means you're okay being with yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? That you're not defined by somebody else's judgments of you. You're defined by how you perceive yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how you engage yourself.
Right.
Those are cool cards. I like those.
Yeah, thank you.
You're making those.
Coming soon.
Nice. It's a holistic store near you.
Yes, that's right. Or Shaman Bling.
Shaman Bling, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're putting together a website called Shaman Bling. So for those of you who have things you want to put on consignment, things you want to buy, there'll be all kinds of things that, you know, that we use in our practice that,
mm-hmm.
that will be, you know, blessed in, you know, housed there.
Yeah, I think we need that kind of a marketplace where, you know, a lot of diverse people can come in and give their various implements and instruments and, you know, things that they want to...
Absolutely. Jenny Seek, she has her sacred bracelets, you mm-hmm. know, so she's actually not on our network anymore. She's taking a break.
Okay.
She'll be gone for a while. Hopefully she'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
So we won't have Intuitive Voice Hour anymore for a while. So
mm-hmm.
I wish her the best with her programmings or her undoings or whatever,
yeah.
or her undoings as well, changing her life
yes,
and, you know, restructuring herself.
Yeah.
And so but we've been blessed to have her on With Insights for many, she's been, 3 years, a good 3-4 years with
yeah.
us. So I'm happy that, you know, that she did give the opportunity to, you know, teach and share and stuff with us,
right.
and so she'll be missed.
Yeah,
we'll miss her. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But the universe knows what she's doing for her, and she needs to do what she needs to do. But Jenny, we just want to let you know we're thinking about you. We love you. Care about you.
Absolutely.
And hopefully have you back on the show at least as a guest. You know, see where you're doing, what's going on. We're gonna take a 30-second break, and then we're gonna be right back and take some calls and go from there.
We'll be right back after this.
After this.
Just hanging out talking.
You are listening to withinsightsradio.com and withinsights.com, your free online holistic publication and resource magazine for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. Please feel free to explore our daily inspirational quotes and uplifting stories, exclusive interviews with local world-known inspirational leaders.
Yeah. the spoons or something, yeah.
Welcome back to With Insights Radio with your hosts, Iggy Garcia and David Tucros. We are flying high in the sky here in Columbus, Ohio on a beautiful, it's getting cloudy now. Beautiful sunny day, 77 degrees
mm-hmm.
is your high.
It's always a beautiful day.
Your low, 69?
Low tonight, 69.
That's
overnight
right.
cloudiness.
That's right.
Chance of rain.
Yep. So why don't you kick back to the second half of the show? Well,
yeah.
Quarter way of the show. We've been talking and having fun here.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we do. I was telling David, you know, we used to, in the past, when I first started doing the show, we used to, I used to write a script, like what I wanted to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And then about at the 15-minute mark, I was, like, out of stuff. I'd be like...
Uh-oh.
I'd be like...
Going to go off script now.
And Dave's like, yeah, we got to get the spoons out.
Well, you know, hey, I just was thinking, I saw this little alien guy here, and I was thinking about how Laurie's son, Alex, who's living with us now, he's watching the X-Files. You know, he's kind of catching up on all the old X-Files. He said, you know, I've been watching the X-Files, and I'm just... I mean, think about aliens, you know, so what do you think about that?
Mm-hmm.
So... He knows that I watch a lot of paranormal shows, and, you know, I've got an interest in that. So as I was telling him for a while, you know, I've had a couple of experiences, not directly with aliens, but certainly with strange things in the sky. The first one was when we were, both of them actually happened when I was living in Alaska. The first one was when I was about 17 or 18,
mm-hmm.
and I went out in the backyard. It was a mid-afternoon day, summer day, and we lived just behind the military base. I don't know if that means anything, but anyway, so...
I don't know, does
yeah,
it?
Yeah, so, you know, I was just out there in the backyard, and I got this weird feeling like you get whenever you're being watched, you know, like somebody's watching you. So I looked around, left and right, And then I looked straight up, and right over my head was this silver ball. And it looked about the size of if you took a pea or something and you held it maybe at arm's length. It was,
really?
I couldn't tell how big it was, but it was definitely round, silver ball. And I had just enough time to go, what is that? And then it went, bow. It just went, it was gone.
How old were you?
I was probably 17 or 18, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. And, of course, I can't tell anybody about it because I've been interested in UFOs all my life and they all know it in my family. Like, yeah, sure, yeah.
Yeah, but, isn't there?
Sure enough.
What drugs are you on?
You don't want to know. No. So the next time was I was out driveway of the same house, maybe a year or two later, and I was with my girlfriend at the time. And we were just standing there. It was night. It was a winter night, and the stars were out brightly because we lived out in the country. So we're just spending a few minutes just watching the stars, you know. You see the Milky Way. It's really cool, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we both focused on this one part of the sky where these two stars were that didn't look quite right, you know. Like, I hadn't remembered seeing them like that before. And as we're just talking about it and watching them, suddenly they just went, whoosh, and they just... It made like a J shape in the sky, and they went from bright white, they went orange, yellow, red, and out. And they were gone. So nothing too dramatic. I haven't seen like saucers in the sky or anything, but...
Well, when I was in the restaurant, when I was about, how old was I? 20-some years old. I was working in the back on my car, and it was kind of, you know, sunset-ish.
Twilight, yeah.
You know, and I looked over, and I saw this green light, like, moving. Like, way in the distance. And I looked like this, and I looked again, and it was gone. It was that fast.
Wow. Yeah, it's like that.
And I was just, like, blown away by it. I was like, what the heck was that?
Mm-hmm.
And I ran inside, so, and my mom's like, jeez, man, I see saw that stuff all the time in Peru, you know?
Oh, really?
They saw an actual ship land in the water and went underwater.
Wow.
By where my grandma lives. They this was back in the 60s. A ship just came.
Like a full-on spaceship.
Like a ship. It was just like a silver, roundish ship came. It was at night. Came. Went under the water and disappeared.
Wow.
The Marines and everybody came like the next day and they couldn't find nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It just was like, and everybody was freaking out. I was like, oh my God. And I asked my grandmother and I've asked people about it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that happens all the time. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that's the thing is you start talking about it, either somebody has seen something or they know someone who's seen something, you know, so it's out there. It's we have some kind of a collective block against seeing it right now or something, or maybe that's starting to break down a little bit.
Well, it's kind of like the end of the movie. You ever see the movie with, Mel Gibson's movie? It was Apocalypto.
I know, I have not seen that.
Well, it's about, you know, the Spanish coming to the shores. Everything's, you know, doing their thing. They're going through life, sacrificing people or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, at the end of the scene, there's this moment where the ships are in the water, and the guy's pointing. Oh, it's at the beginning. Well, either they're pointing, and no one sees anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you pointing at? But at the end of the scene, the last scene in the movie, the warriors are chasing this one guy. If he gets away, he can survive.
Yeah, I think I've seen that part of it. Yeah.
And then, but they reneged on their deal, so they went to go kill him, but... Because they killed the son. But they get to the beach, and then they finally see the ship. They're like, they'd never seen a ship.
It's been there the whole time, though.
It's been there the whole time. They just weren't able to see it because they'd never had any kind of conscience memory of what a ship looked like.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
Or what a white person would look like in a rope. And so they saw the priest and the cross.
They had nothing to compare it with. There was no... Yeah.
There's no memory. There's no... And I think that's what happens with us. We don't have anything to compare. I mean, there's probably things in front of us we don't even know, but are, like you said, visually we're not focused on seeing it. Then when we do slip into that little, you know, that little vortex or that little parallel, you know, we start to see things that we didn't see before.
Yeah.
It's kind of like this video my brother showed where he was in San Antonio, Texas. I was watching it today, and when you go under the bridge of this building, as soon as you come underneath the bridge, the building looks like a poster. It's a square building, but the way the angle comes out, it looks like a piece of paper standing there.
Huh.
And I saw it. I was like, wow, that's pretty freaking cool. You know? And it's just little things like that.
Perception,
Yeah. And so I think if the light bends and we look a certain way and we just have the right you know, scenario, you know, you start to see things.
It's like that with, you know, with UFOs, with Sasquatch, you know. Too many people have seen, experienced something
mm-hmm.
that you can't just say that they're all crazy or, you know, that they're wrong. At the same time, there's not enough, you scientifically can say there's not enough space for these people, for these beings to have existed in a breeding population. But perhaps there's doors that open once in a while, and you know, they come and go, or, you know, we see a different layer, level, you know, and maybe something's trying to communicate through all these different avenues.
I think so. Yeah. It's kind of like our friend, Miss Trent here. She's calling from Mountaintop, Alaska. She's been trying to get a hold of us. You're from Alaska, so
yes.
You're probably familiar with that area, or whatever a Mountaintop, Alaska is. But she can't get a good signal, but she says she'll try. But I'm going to ask her maybe to pick a number 1 through 68
yes.
on your sheet.
Yeah.
Maybe she can type that in, and you can give her a little reading from your new cards. So if you could hear us talking about that, you know, Miss Trent, pick a little 1 through 68, and David will give
yep.
you a reading.
Yep, these are my Alaskan Spirit cards.
These are Alaskan Spirit cards that he's working on putting together. I think they're done. They're just going to need to be put
yeah,
on.
I have yeah. to put them in card form now. But.
So while we're waiting for your for you to type that in, we'll just keep talking until
okay.
I see it pop up on the screen. And then just go from there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think a lot of things are shifting the way we look at the world, you know, and the way we're looking at our own governments and our, you know, all the establishments and the institutions we so heavily relied on and bought into for so long. You know, we're taking a step back and going, you know, are these serving us anymore? Are they limiting us? Are they have they even taken away our freedoms? And you know, are they trying to push us down? You know, because the human spirit always wants to rise up, you know, and that's, you can suppress it for a while. You can suppress our native curiosity and our desire to be free and our desire to grow beyond the boundaries that have been set upon us, but it'll keep rising up again and again.
It makes you wonder if they push the boundaries in order to keep us sharp. I mean, no one really likes to come from that angle
mm-hmm.
or think about that, but sometimes I wonder if they don't push us, they don't cause us havoc sometimes. What would we be like, you know?
Yeah.
Will
yeah.
we not have a fight anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Do they try to keep us a little bit engaged? So, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's open for debate, you know, and talk in the future. Excuse me for coughing.
Maybe, you know, if we keep pushing them this way, then they'll finally, you know.
But I don't know what their purpose would be. I mean, there's a lot of outcomes that can come from that, but
mm-hmm.
the thing is, at what point is too much pushing? You know, I guess is what I'm really truly asking.
Yeah.
You know, how far do you really want to push? Because human beings are pretty resilient
mm-hmm.
things. You know, we're pretty tough.
Right. Well, and then the universe keeps coming back again and again with all these men and women that come into our lives and our reality and give these messages of, you know, liberation and you know, how to. Directly connect with spirit and source and,
mm-hmm.
you know, move beyond the limitations that we think were placed on us. So there's a desire from the other side, so to speak, or from the greater universe that we grow up a little bit more and grow into a higher realm of consciousness, I think.
Yeah, because you and I have talked about this before. I'm like, what would they benefit just killing humans and suppressing them when they need
mm-hmm.
them to make their fortune?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one thing to have the whole planet. But if you don't have anybody to take care of it or, you know, man it for you, what's the point of having a big planet?
Right.
Wow, I own the planet. You know? I saw a little picture that I have on Facebook, which I thought was pretty cool. And I was really intrigued by it because it has to do with, let me pull it up, with the Earth Mother. You probably saw it. It's a cartoon. And this little boy... They have the picture boy. He goes, this is Mother Gaia. I come on the behalf of the humans to apologize for destroying nature and for being and beg for forgiveness. And then they have this picture of this motherly figure. She goes, oh, my beloved self-centered humans. She's reaching her hands out. And the boy goes again, we are sorry for being so selfish. We never want to kill nature. And then she goes, that wasn't what I mean by self-centered. Nature is adaptable. No matter what you do to it, it will simply change, take on new forms, survive worse things than you.
Mm-hmm.
You, however, in the process of changing, is so much you can't live in it. you're not killing nature, you're killing yourself. This is Mother Nature talking. Yes. And that's what I mean by self-centered. You think just because you can't live there that nothing else can. And the kid goes, what? And the kid goes, you're effing kidding, right? Over yourself, by big time, you won't be missed. By over time, you won't be missed.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, you mentioned that earlier. You know, we think it's all about us.
Yeah.
And I find that pretty comical. I love that. I love that little skit.
Yeah.
Because I preach that a lot, too. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, it's not the Mother Earth I'm worried about. It's about us.
Mm-hmm.
I always say that. Mother Earth will adjust. It will always
find
a way. She had, 3 miles of ice on top of her for a long time?
Yeah, right.
So I'm sure she can handle it.
There's been 5 extinction-level events that have happened, you know, that has been hit by asteroids as big as, you know, a planet as big as Mars, you know?
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, why do we think that we are so worthy?
We have such an effect.
Yeah. You know, that we...
More than anything else.
We're like a bad rash, man.
We're like we're
irritation. And a really nasty mosquito.
Mm-hmm.
You just keep sucking stuff. There's always a cure for those little dudes.
Right. Splat.
Splat. And she does.
She does. She tries, you know, and we counter and she counters. And, you know, the insects are becoming immune to the GMO crops now, you know, and they're starting to be superbugs.
Yeah.
So.
That's a whole other movie, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Superbugs.
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 Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, remember that? Remember that movie?
Yeah.
The GMO's gone bad? That's
vegetables
funny.
Will eat you.
Yeah, I had a dream about that one time, where, you know, we fed the GMOs to the plants so much that the animals started eating, they started to mutate, and everything started changing.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing, they ate all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Remember I told you about that?
Yeah, yeah.
But I have weird dreams like that.
Well, I think the dreams are very important, you know, that we get a lot of communication and inspiration from them. So, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it's always about us. I'm going, so how do Attack of Killer Tomatoes have anything to do with me? So I'm always thinking, you know, because our dreams are our deepest and most, you know, curious thoughts about who we truly think we are,
mm-hmm.
or how we experience the world.
Right.
So I find that pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think it's a good time when our defenses, so to speak, are down, when we're not, we don't have a personality to try to push forward, that it's a good time for information to come through,
mm-hmm.
be exchanged, you know. So, I'm always intensely interested in my dreams.
Yeah.
Tell me.
Yeah, they're pretty cool, man. There's some dreams I just would love to stay in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this is really cool here, man. I am not coming back.
I could fly.
You guys can do whatever you want, but, you know, I'm flying, and that's cool stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, dreaming is, some people say, you know, which one's the real world sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you come back here, and it's just difficult.
Yeah, doesn't feel quite right sometimes.
Yeah, I'm here going, oh my god.
I'm Iggy again.
Oh, me. I'm the other version of myself.
I wake up. I got to go to work now.
Yeah, but anyways. Anything else you want to close with tonight?
Oh, I don't know. You pull a quick card for me if you would.
All right, here we go. 1 through 68.
That's my game.
Got my little cough, so I apologize. All right, I pulled the cheetah card.
Ooh.
A decision once made will be followed by an unwavering action.
Hmm. Okay.
Can't change your spots, man. Cheetah says you're
going
to be a cheetah, man.
That's good. I've made the decision.
You are a shaman.
So now it's time to take
that. You are David Two Crows. You are Two Crows.
Yes.
You're Dave Rutland.
can't get away from that. Don't want to get away from that.
You are everything that you thought you were. And less, and then, and plus some more.
Mm-hmm.
No, I really appreciate you giving me a reading tonight.
Oh,
that was
my pleasure.
So with that, folks, our time's just about up. We have 60 seconds to go. I want to say ho'oponopono, blessings.
Love and peace, much gratitude to everybody who came to listen tonight.
We'll see everybody next week.
Yeah. Starting to really just riff.